Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast land, welcome. This is Blog Talk Radio, and this is a Hodge to Hodge production. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. This is Nurse Carmen. And the messenger is having technical difficulties. So we'll have a conversation with co-producer Ken Hodge.
Hey, good evening. Good evening, podcast audience. Again, the messenger will join us briefly. But until he gets here, I want to reiterate his message for tonight. That's thanks for the message. When we say thanks for the message, thank you for listening and hearing a different message. Thank you for opening your minds and understanding that just because you've been trained to believe in such a thing, that once you become of age, you have the capability to seek additional answers. Thank you for understanding that the Bible is to be questioned.
Amen.
And the fact that you are taught to believe, never to debate or to question the Bible, should let you know that there is much to be debated. And if you entered into a debate, you might leave there thinking, wait a minute, although I've been taught to believe a certain way, what that brother said makes sense to me. And what that brother is saying is, we have to wake up and understand that we are godly people. We are people, image by God, and when he breathed his life into us, then we became creatures that can go to and from and allow God to enjoy or feel the magnificence that he gives to each and every one of us. It's a concept that it's hard for people to understand, that if God is in you, and if God takes his breath from you, that you no longer exist, then how can you not say you are godly? And again, when we say godly, I mean that in the strongest sense of the word. The prophet Jesus, when he was here, if you're a Christian, that's your go-to person. But the prophet Jesus, when he was here, if we take some of the readings, again, out of the book called the Bible, the prophet Jesus himself let it be known that we should not marvel at his works, because he, as well as you,
are connected to the exact same life source. He was smart enough to understand that very early in life and enjoy the benefits of being in touch or in communion with the Father. And I see my brother, the messenger, has arrived. So I'm going to step away from the microphone and turn it over to the messenger. How you doing, brother?
Hey, bless you, my brother. Sorry about that. Had a whole bunch of technical issues at the last moment. But I'm here.
Hello there.
Hello. I thank you, brother co-producer, for stepping right in like you just so always ready to do. And I greatly appreciate
Amen.
It. I just wanted to follow up on what we were talking about. I know it might seem like it's not pertinent, but the last couple of podcasts that we had, we spoke about death. And one of the reasons why I'm on this topic and why we're discussing it so much is because it's something that we have to learn to let go of and stop being fearful, because it is because of death that we don't truly live this life, fear of the hereafter. So I'm here to try to shed light so that we can, and I know it's not something that's going to happen overnight, but it's something that we can kind of work to free ourselves of so that we can live life more abundantly. Now, many religions say that reincarnation is a false doctrine, that we only get one life here and only one chance. And what you must understand is that humans have many fear-based religions whose teachings surround the doctrine of a God who is to be worshipped and feared. It was through fear that the entire Earth society reformed itself from the matriarch into the patriarch. It was through fear that the early priests got people to mend their wicked ways and heed the word of the Lord. It was through fear that churches gained and controlled their membership. One church even insists that God would punish you if you did not go to church every Sunday. Not going to church was declared a sin. And not just any church. One had to attend one particular church. If you went to a church of a different denomination, that too was a sin. This was an attempt at control, pure and simple, using fear. The amazing thing is, it worked. And it still works. We'll always believe in hell and in a God who would send them there as long as they believe that God is like man, ruthless, self-serving, unforgiving, and vengeful. And in days past, most people could not imagine a God who might rise above all of that. So they accepted the teachings of many churches to fear the terrible vengeance of the Lord. It was as if people couldn't trust themselves to be good, to act appropriately on their own, for their own built-in reasons. So they had to create a religion that taught the doctrine of an angry, retributive God in order to keep themselves in line. Now the idea of reincarnation threw a monkey wrench into all of that. The churches were proclaiming that you better be nice or else. And along came the reincarnationists saying, you'll have another chance after this and another chance after that. And still more chances, so don't worry. Do the best you can. Don't become so paralyzed with fear that you can't budge. Promise yourself to do better and get on with it. Naturally, the early churches couldn't hear of such a thing, so it did two things. First, it denounced the doctrine of reincarnation as heretic. Then it created a sacrament of confession. Confessions can do for the churchgoer what reincarnation promised, that is, give him another chance. So then we had a setup where God would punish you for your sins unless you confessed them. In that case, you could feel safe knowing that God had heard your confessions and forgiven you. But there was a catch. this absolutely could not come directly from God. It had to flow through the church, whose priests pronounced penances, which had to be performed. These were usually prayers which were required of the sinner. So now you had two reasons to keep up your membership. The church found confession to be such a good drawing card that it soon declared it to be a sin not to go to confession. Everybody had to do it at least once a year. If they didn't, God would have another reason to be angry. More and more rules, many of them are arbitrary and conspicuous, began to be promulgated by the church, each rule having the power of God's eternal condemnation behind it, unless, of course, failure was confessed. Then the person was forgiven by God and condemnation avoided. But now there was another problem. People figured out that this must mean they could do anything as long as they confessed it. The church was in a quandary. Fear had left the heart of the people. Church attendance and membership dropped. People came to confess once a year and say their penance, were absolved of their sins and went on with their life. There was no question about it. A way had to be found to strike fear into the hearts again. So purgatory was invented. Purgatory, this was described as a place something like hell, but not eternal. The new doctrine declared that God would make you suffer for your sins even if you confessed them. Under the doctrine, a certain amount of suffering was decreed by God for each non-perfect soul. Based on the number and types of sins committed, there were mortal sins and venial sins. Mortal sins would send you right to hell if not confessed before death. Once more, church attendance shot up. Collections were up too, and especially contributions. For the doctrine of purgatory also included a way one could buy one's way out of the suffering. According to the church's teaching, one could receive a special indulgence, but again, not directly from God, only from an official of the church. The special indulgence freed one from the suffering in purgatory, which they had earned with their sins, or at least part of it. So it was considered something like time off for good behavior. But of course, these reprieves were granted to very few. Generally, those who made a conspicuous contribution to the church. For a real huge sum, one could obtain a plenary indulgence. This meant no time in purgatory at all. It was a nonstop ticket straight to heaven. This special favor from God was available for even fewer. Royalty, perhaps. The amount of money, jewels, and land given to the church in exchange for these indulgences were enormous. But the exclusivity of all this brought great frustration and resentment to the masses. No pun intended. The poorest peasant had no hope of gaining a bishop indulgence, and so the ranks and the file lost faith in the system, with attendance threatening to drop again. So now what they did was they brought in the novena candles. People could come to the church and light a novena candle for the poor souls in purgatory, and by saying a novena, a series of prayers in a particular order that took some time to complete, they could knock years off the sentence of the dearly departed, allowing them to get from purgatory sooner than God would otherwise have allowed. They couldn't do anything for themselves, but at least they could pray for mercy for the departed. Of course, it would be helpful if a coin or two were dropped through the slots for each candle lit. A lot of little candles were flickering behind. A lot of red glasses and a lot of pesos and pennies were being dropped into a lot of tin buckets in an attempt to get God to ease up on the suffering being inflicted on the souls in purgatory. No wonder the church declared reincarnation to be untruthful. Yes, yet when God created you, God did not create you so that you could live one lifetime, an infinite might period. Really, given the age of the universe, make the mistake you were inevitably going to make, then hope for the best at the end. God tried to imagine setting it up that way, but God could never figure out what the purpose would be. Now, you could never figure it out either. That's why you've had to keep saying things like, the Lord works in mysterious ways. He won his wonders to perform. But God don't work in mysterious ways. Everything God does has a reason, and it's perfectly clear. God has explained why he created you and the purpose of your life many times now. We have went over why God has created you and the purpose for your life. So he doesn't work in mysterious ways. If we listen to what the teaching has been trying to get us to better understand, reincarnation, I'm sorry, you could never figure it out. But reincarnation fits perfectly into that purpose, which is for God to create and experience who God was through you, lifetime after lifetime, and through the millions of other creatures of consciousness that God has placed in the universe. So we say, so of course there is a life after death. Do you really believe that you are alone in this gigantic universe? That's another topic that we'll get to later. So your purpose as a soul is to experience yourself as all of it. We are evolving. We are becoming. And then you say becoming what? What we are becoming is we are becoming God. Because each day we are bringing things close back from our remembrance. So we are becoming closer and closer to being part of the God body. Purpose of your life is to decide and to be who you really are. You are doing that every day with every action, with every thought, with every word. That's what you're doing. Now, to the degree that you're pleased with that, pleased with who you are and your experience, to that degree, you'll stick more or less with the creation, making only minor adjustments here and there to get it closer and closer to perfect. I just want to give you some examples. Babe Ruth did the same thing. He had a very clear idea about himself and his relationship to God, and he used his life to outpicture that, to know himself and his own experience. Not many people live that level, not granted. The masters and the babe had two entirely different ideas about themselves, yet they both played them out magnificently. They also both had different ideas about God. That's for sure, and we're coming from different levels of consciousness of who God is and about their true relationship with God. And those level of consciousness was reflected in their thoughts, words, and actions. One was in a place of peace and serenity most of his life and brought deep peace and serenity to others. The other was in a place of anxiousness, turmoil, and occasional anger, particularly when he didn't get his way, and brought turmoil to the lives of those around him. Both were good-hearted. However, there was never a softer touch than the babe. And the difference between the two is that one had virtually nothing in terms of physical acquisition, but never wanted more than what he got, while the other had everything and never got what he really wanted. So I use that as an example to show you, once again, as we talk about the different things that are going on, hey, right and wrong, and think that this person is better or different than that. In this illustration, I just use Babe Ruth with Jesus. And they were both acceptable to God because they were both expressing who it is that they wanted to be, who that they thought that they were. And that's all that God requires of us. So what we'll do, we'll drop the narrative regarding the two souls here, because both have already made their next choice regarding what they want to now experience. And in fact, both are now experiencing that. It would be a mistake to assume that reincarnation, returning to another physical body, was the only option open to them. So what you have to understand, then you say, well, there are options. What you have to know in truth is whatever they want them to be. That's how powerful we are. And that, you know, we talk. I'm talking about the next realm of life. I don't want to call it death, but the next realm of life. But the things that we do in the next realm of life, they will come much easier. But it's important for us to know that they can come right here. As a matter of fact, they are right here. And we are experiencing it, but we just fail to open our eyes to truly see it. Some souls feel that there is a lot more they would like to know, and so they find themselves going to a school, whereas other souls, what you call old souls, teach them. And what do they teach them? That they have nothing to learn, that they never had anything to learn, that all they ever had to do was remember. Remember who and what they really are. They are taught that the experience of who they are is gained in the acting out of it and being it. They are reminded of this by having it gently shown to them. Other souls have already remembered this by the time they get to, or soon after, they get to the other side. So I'm just using the other side, the language that we kind of understand, to keep as much as possible the words out of the way. These souls may then seek the immediate joy of experiencing themselves as whatever they wish to be. They may select from the million aspects of God and choose to experience that right then and there. Some may opt to return to physical forms to do that. Just and the point that I'm making is the power that we have. And I know it's hard to accept, given all that we've been taught about death and hell and all of this stuff. I know this is hard to understand, but it is something that we have to go within. You know, once, as I've always said, you don't have to take what I'm saying at face value. Go within. Try the spirit by the spirit. Go within and have your personal conversation with God and see will he confirm it. Don't go by what I say. Go by what it is that the spirit within you is telling you. Because one thing you will come to realize, you will not lie to yourself. You may not listen to yourself, but you will not lie to yourself. So it's important for us to understand these things and to really start to focus on it so that we can understand. I'm at the point now where it's just something inside of me that just bubbles up when people just start talking just the silliness from what these religions have indoctrinated us in. Now, I just gave you a few examples of the Catholic religion and the different things in which they've added. They've taken away and added all to keep control of you, all to gain your financial wealth. These were all tricks that they set up, quote-unquote, in the name of God. So it's important for us to understand the games that are being played, that have been being played on us forever and a day. And it's time for us to stop. It's time for us to realize that the soul's greatest desire is to experience higher and higher of itself. And so it seeks to move upward, not downward, on the evolutionary scale until it experiences what has been called nirvana, total oneness with the all, that is, with God. If the soul returns to human form, it is always in an effort to further experience and thus further evolve. There are many levels of evolution observable and demonstrated in humans. One could come back for many lifetimes, many hundreds of lifetimes, and continue to evolve upwards. Yet upward movement, the grandest desire of the soul, is not achieved with the return to a lower level form. Thus, such a return does not occur. Not until the soul reaches ultimate reunion with the all that is. So I want you to know that every soul that was ever created was created at once.
Amen.
We are all here now. And the reason I say that is because some people like to say they got old souls, and that's just a figure of speech. Old souls, because everything was created at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But as I have explained before, when a soul, part of God, reaches ultimate realization, it has the options to start over, to literally forget everything so that it can remember all over again and recreate itself anew once more. And this way, God continues to re-experience itself. Souls may also choose to recycle through a particular life form at a particular level as often as they like. That is the power that we have. But we are so hung up and afraid of death that we're afraid to let go. And please, I'm talking about this, but in no way whatsoever am I telling anybody to go kill themselves. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying if you let go of the fear of death, you can enjoy life more. As we get ready to wind down, I do truly thank you. And I just wanted to leave a couple minutes for my co-producer because he started out with some really nice stuff for you. I just wanted him to close out. He'll get his music going. I just wanted to give him a moment or two so that he could close us out. Go ahead, Dr. Co-producer.
You read a moment or two.
That's all.
He said, look, don't bring the Jaguar out. Just bring the truck out right now. Just warm it up. next week, I can bring the Jaguar out. Hey, but listen, I do thank you for tuning in to the Messenger Podcast. Again, it is our intent. It is our desire to stay in front of you or stay in your ear, letting you know that there is another way, there is a better way. And if you stop and look at what it is we're offering or what it is we're exposing you to, it would more resemble a powerful God. We're telling you that live your life. It is not important that you stop 7, 8, 9, 10, two times a day and take time out of your day to go pray. Again, why take time out of your day when you can do it right in the process of your day? So you don't have to make special provisions to talk to the spirit that's inside of you. You don't have to drive 5 or 10 miles. In fact, if you want to drive 5 or 10 miles, by the time you get to where you're going, you probably already had that conversation. Hey, listen, understand, people, that we are powerful beings. And I think when we come into the knowledge or the universal understanding that it is already set for us, the table is set. All we have to do is sit down and break through. As co-producer, I'm saying good night. We will see you We will talk to you again on Thursday night. Have a blessed week, everyone. Good night.
Amen. Thank
Bless you.
Good
Thank
night.
You, brother co-producer. Good night.